Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, I just want to let you know before we go any further that Siobhan Byrne, Director of the Passport Service in the Department of Foreign Affairs, will be with us here on Thursday, so the day after tomorrow, to answer all of your passport application queries, because tis the season and all of that. If you have any questions you want answered, do text us 51551 or send an email to todaycb@rte.ie, and we'll put them to Siobhan, who will be with us, the Director of the Passport Service, on Thursday. Now though, wall panelling, stair runners, seasonal wreaths, scrolling through images and videos of really elaborate interior accounts on social media has become a pastime for so many. But trying to replicate those trends in your own home can be a pricey affair, but it doesn't have to be, because my next guest has just published a new book that is filled with craft and DIY ideas to spruce up your home on a budget. It's called Heart and Home, and its author, Catherine Carton, is with
me
in the studio.
Morning.
Hello.
Thank you so much
and
for having me.
Congratulations to you on, first of all, a beautiful book.
Thank you.
And an inspiring book, because I said, you know, you might have even inspired me to paint my front door, which is not something that I would ever imagine that I would want to do.
I kind of wanted that effect. So I wanted the book to feel relatable, because I feel like a lot of interior books and interior programs on the telly, they have these massive renovation budgets and they're knocking down walls. And realistically, a lot of people, they might be renting, they might not be in their forever home, but they still want to make the place look nice, put a bit of warmth into it. And yeah, like you said, the internet is full of all of these projects and 60-second videos that make it look like, oh, I could do that. But actually, when you go to do it, you're like, how do I actually do that? So yeah, I put all of my knowledge in a book, so people can
I know keeping the cost down is a big thing with you, and you're really good at making sure that we're not spending too much on this. But it's also about having a hobby or an interest, something that takes your mind off all of the stresses of life.
Yeah, and like that, while a video might be done in 60 seconds, realistically, if you were to, let's say, wall panel a room, that might take you 2 weekends, a couple of days off, you know, from work. But you can do it like a few hours here and there and break the project down. So like planning and measuring can be one step. Do that thoroughly. And I think it's about enjoying the process, because I know myself, when I start something, I see what the end is going to look like in my head and I have these expectations. But then I might, when it goes to cutting the wood or measuring and I make mistakes, you do kind of get frustrated. So it's enjoying the journey of the project as well as the finished result.
Like wall panelling a room, that would terrify me. That is a big one. And you're a fan of night classes, aren't you, to
learn how
to do these things?
Yeah, so during I love a hobby. During the course of doing this book, I took up a woodwork class in my local school and took up an art class. And like that, I went into woodwork class thinking, great, I'm going to make something. I'm going to come home with a stool. And he literally made me square off little blocks of wood for 3 hours and cut them by hand.
Yeah.
And he humbled me. And I was like, and you have to, I suppose, take your time and, you know, learn the steps as you go. Mm-hmm. So like in the book with wall panelling, there's a smaller project where we just frame canvases, but it's a good way of practicing the mitre corners, because they can be quite tricky to get. It's a good way to practice cutting wood. You can use scrap pieces, so you can do a smaller project just to build up your confidence to actually go and panel a wall. And we have like a tiled tray as well, so there's a tiled garden table, so that's a good way to get comfortable with the materials. And
yeah, I think that's a good message as well, because I don't want to scare people that these are all big projects.
No, there's lots of smaller little projects as well.
In fact, can I tell you one of the ones that I loved in the book was that IKEA children's kitchen,
mammies
and daddies and grannies, yes, I'd say so many of them went out and bought, and now they're like ours, sitting in the garden, covered in ivy.
And a lot of them you can pick up for free on secondhand sites. And if you even just go onto Pinterest and search IKEA kids kitchen makeover, and you don't have to do it with the IKEA ones, sometimes Aldi and Lidl do have little kitchens as well. All you have to do is, you know, prep it, give it a lick of paint. You can use faux contact. I gave mine like a faux marble table for my niece. You can add any like little hooks and stuff. Obviously, just be careful and keep it age appropriate and use like a water-based paint, anything when it comes to kids, just like safety and stuff. My niece is like 6, 7 now. So
yeah, I love what you did with the rose gold and the pink one.
Yeah,
just so that
was
cute.
I feel like that was me, just my inner child having a moment. I wanted the rose gold.
But you know, it's
kitchen.
A great place to start. Like if wall paneling fills you with fear,
Do
the little
smaller.
Kid's kitchen.
Yeah, and even upside, you don't also have to paint either. So obviously wood is quite trendy again in the house, like wooden pieces of furniture. I feel like a couple of years ago we were kind of painting everything. But actually I have a couple of tips in the book about stripping paint and refinishing, you know, wood and staining wood, because you don't have to, I suppose, paint everything. If you find a nice piece in the charity shop, it might just need a bit of filler. Maybe has a wonky leg to fix and it just needs to be cleaned. It doesn't have to kind of have a big makeover.
Keep it
like,
simple.
Yeah.
Keep so it can
simple.
We go back now to painting the front door? Because
yes,
I did think when I was going through the book, maybe I could do this and not make a mess of it like I did when I tried to touch up the units in the kitchen. But let's not talk about that. I'm learning all of the time. Will you take us through the steps to renovating your own front door?
So the front door, you can actually get front door painting kits from some of the independent paint shops where they'll give you the primer. You pick what colour paint you want and they'll give you the brushes and the sandpaper. So keep an eye out for them. But basically, you just need to... So I have a PVC door. So the steps are going to be the same, but you'll just use a different primer. So you were saying you have a wooden door.
Wooden door.
Yeah.
But before we even get to the paint, we've got to use the sugar soap. Isn't that right?
Yeah, clean it down. Make sure it's clean. And then you can get a sanding block. Yeah. So medium grit. And you're just keying the surface. Like you don't have to sand it back bare. So you're just getting little scratches in it so you have adherence for your primer to go on. And then you're going to pick your primer. So you have previously painted door. So you'll get a primer suitable for that. And you're going to block the paint underneath.
And the paint shop will tell you which primer you need depending on the surface.
Yeah, and each paint brand might have a different primer, so I would just ask like in the paint shop. And then you'll pick your top coat. So I think gloss is actually lovely on front doors, especially like you were saying, like it's wooden, it's red brick, but you can also do matte or you can do a satin. I think I went for
what
a satin.
What did you do here now? You did a satin.
I did
you?
Satin, yeah. I did like a green satin.
It's lovely.
And that's on PVC.
You changed your door furniture as well. You've got a little bee there.
Yeah,
little...
I got a fancy knocker.
Because I was going to say to you, you probably need to put masking tape around the handle and the
letterbox.
Yeah, or you
can just take them off while you're doing it. And another thing with painting your front door is we're coming into the perfect season to do it. So do start it in the morning because you don't want to have a wet door going to bed because you won't be able to close it. So just check the drying time in between coats, and it's an early morning project. And the air is much drier now, so it's not a project you would do in winter. There's too much moisture in the air. But now... we're coming into the season, perfect front door painting season now.
And what's your top coat then on that when you have it all painted and looking lovely?
So if you've used the gloss, that's self-sealing. You don't have to stick any varnish or gloss over it. It will self-seal. The only thing I would put a top coat on is chalk paint, but I don't recommend putting that on a front door.
Okay, that's not going to be hard wearing enough, is
no.
it?
No. So satin, gloss, eggshell, they're all self-sealing.
All right, let's move to the simple bath stool, which... I think looks like, you know, a French antique, but you made this yourself.
So that's cheating. So that was a lovely piece of wood. It was actually used at my friend's wedding. They had like a DIY cigar bar that I kind of made for them. And it was a lovely piece of wood.
I kind of made for them. Don't you love that? Dropping it in there.
So it was a lovely thick piece of wood. But obviously it had served its purpose on today. And I was like, what can I do with this piece of wood? And I simply got legs, so little stool legs, and stuck them on and sanded and stained the whole thing, because I love those like fancy French chateau little stools, but they come with a big price tag. So you can get that aged effect. Like I actually bashed the wood with my hammer just to give it a bit of like
character.
Detailing. Yeah. Took my
hanger
out.
Where did you get those legs? That you
the legs, you can pick them up online or even like in some of the furniture shops. Even IKEA actually sell legs that you can just buy to stick on. Mm. You don't have to use wood. You can get hair pin legs. They're quite trendy as well if you want something a bit more modern.
And how did you get them on? I'm looking at the pictures here now.
So
how
that's a good way.
That
they're just drilled with a, they have like a little plate on the base of them.
Yeah.
So you just measure and stick them on. So if you're new to using a drill That would probably be a good project to start with, because you're just changing the legs. You can also take legs off old pieces of furniture. Sometimes if something is broken and it has to go to the recycle centre, I might hang on to the legs and just, because you never know when you might use them for a project.
Do you have all of this stuff around the back?
I do have I have my little storage nook that I do have to go to every now and again. So yeah, you can say hang on to legs off things mm-hmm. as well.
And then the finish on that was what?
So that is a wood stain, and then it's sealed with a wax then. And then it's more of a kind of decorative stool. You could definitely use it to sit on, although you'll see in the book it's quite small. It's more kind of decorative in
feature,
the bathroom.
Feature yeah. table.
You put like a plant stand. You could use it as a plant stand as well.
Well, I'm looking at a plant stand. Well, it's not a plant stand. It's a tiled garden table, but you have a lovely planter pot on it. Is that another simplish one that we could start with?
Yeah, that's a good one if you want to experiment with tiles. Maybe you've never cut tiles before. It can be quite daunting at first. So that's a good, that's an old IKEA bistro set. And I made a tabletop to sit on it. So it's just a square piece of like thick MDF for the base. And then I just tiled it as if I would tile a wall. So popped the grout on, stuck the tiles down, had to cut and figure out the little gaps, put a trim around the edge, and then I grouted it and then sealed it. And that was a fun way for me to just get used to tiles and experiment with them. Haven't tiled a wall yet though.
Have you not?
I tiled a step at the front door. I've tiled a table, but I'm building myself up to tiling the wall.
Then maybe the next the project. Next one. And did you attach the MDF then to the table afterwards?
Yeah, I stuck it to the tabletop, obviously just so it wouldn't kind of come off. And then with any little things like that, obviously the Irish weather, with all of your garden furniture, just bring it in winter mm-hmm. and cover up your projects, because you don't want them getting wrecked.
Now, you have a guide at the back, which I think is really useful. It's a furniture painting guide. And you have mentioned, for example, that you wouldn't be using chalk paint for outdoor furniture. But we need to know what we're doing with the different paint types, don't we?
So in each project, there could be like a different kind of skill. So I just kind of refer to like the painting guide at the back that just breaks down all the different, because there's a lot of jargon. You can go into the paint shop and they start saying like self-sealing and gloss, and you can quickly get overwhelmed. So it's just a bit of a jargon buster at the back, mm-hmm. just that it explains what kind of each thing is, and also explains it in a really simple way so that it's easy to understand and it's not overwhelming.
So who have you aimed the book at? Is it for the complete beginner, or is it for people who might have a bit more experience?
I think both, because I want the beginner to pick it up and then get inspired. But I also wanted someone who has tackled some projects in their house. Maybe they're looking for a bit of inspiration and they could go, oh, actually, yeah, I'll try a bit of beadboard or even wallpaper. And I have a section on that. If someone wants to maybe tackle doing a bit of wallpapering and removing it. And also anyone who is, I suppose, budget conscious as well, because I love using like recycled materials, even if it's just recycled materials for you to practice on mm-hmm. to build up your confidence, like take a wood palette apart and practice your miter corners on it. And throughout the book, I try and talk about budgets. So little things like if you are doing a big wall paneling project, a lot of people don't think of, you can rent tools. You don't have to kind of go out and purchase a big saw for €200-€300. You can rent tools for the weekend for the job, or you can borrow. So many people, we've all got stuff, and I feel like Irish people, we love to help each other out and lend things. So little things like that, I've mentioned in the book to try and keep the cost down.
Right. Okay. Well, look, it's a beautiful book.
And thank you so much.
It might just inspire people to give a little project a go for a couple of hours over the weekend.
And then I feel like it snowballs then. You get a bit of a creative buzz and then you want to try something else.
Well, listen, when you've tiled a full wall or a full room,
I'll be back.
We'll have you back. Thank you so much, Catherine, for coming in. And the best of luck with the book. It's called Heart and Home, Craft and DIY Projects to Bring Love into Your Home and Garden. And it's published by the O'Brien Press. It's available to buy now. You'll see it in all good bookshops. It's the beautiful book that you'll see on the shelf. Catherine, thanks so much. We'll take a break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.